Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In our text, the one that we've been studying most recently in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, we have primarily concentrated upon the glory of Christ, for that is what the text is most explicitly about. But we also pointed out that there are at least some very strong indicators that the glory of the Father should also be considered as we look at the words of this text carefully. And that is exactly what we did on the broadcast yesterday. But there's still yet one more aspect in the text that I want to take up before we lay it aside, and that is the glory of Christ's redeemed ones. The glory of the Redeemer is indicated not only in the glory of his person, the person of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, and also in the glory of the Father that gives glory to the Son, and the Son in turn gives glory back to the Father. But there is this other aspect, the glory of those who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, those of us who are born-again children of God, adopted into his family, purchased with his blood. There is some measure of glory for us as well, and that is perhaps the most amazing and most mysterious aspect of all. So let's look at it on this Thursday, June 20, as we broadcast another section of God's Word, enabled by the gifts of those who support this Bible teaching ministry on this station. I read the text again. It is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. He, that is Christ indeed, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Well, we see the glory of Christ here, for it tells us very plainly that God raised him from the dead and gave him glory. We see the glory of the Father here because we see the glory of his sovereign administration in that he foreordained, he ordained ahead of time certain things to come pass in time that relate to Christ and relate to salvation. And he revealed himself to men through Christ, and that gives him glory. And in the exaltation of his Son, he himself receives glory. So we see the glory of the Father as we have seen the glory of the Son, but the glory of God's children? Well, let me make it very clear, and remember, glory is honor. Glory is a manifestation of character to look at the glory of God is to look at his perfections, his perfect nature, his perfect character, his perfect attributes as they are displayed and revealed. And all of this, of course, gives him honor. So glory is honor. But can we speak in terms of glory or honor for the redeemed children of God? Well, yes, but only if we understand it is a borrowed glory, it is a bestowed glory, it is a gracious glory, unlike the glory of the Son or the glory of the Father, which glory is intrinsic glory. that belongs to them by who they are, by who they have always been, by their very being, their nature, their character, their attributes. But the glory of God's children is a bestowed glory, a borrowed glory, a glory that is given by grace, not a glory that is a manifestation of what is intrinsic within us. In other words, our glory is not displaying what we are, but in being elevated to what we were not. And that turns the attention from the Redeemer to the redeemed. Very interesting. And so what is the glory of the redeemed ones? Well, our glory, first of all, is in being the objects of the Father's love. Back to that word foreordained in verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And those who are saved by the grace of God come to understand that they were included in the Father's eternal plan. He, Christ, indeed was foreordained, but it wasn't just that he was foreordained to come to earth and die. It is that he was foreordained to come to earth and to redeem the chosen ones of God to himself. Before the foundation of the world, God chose a people for himself to give to the Son. And Christ was central in the redemptive plan, of which his people are also a foreordained part, a chosen part. God's people, or we could say Christ's bride, those who make up the bride of Christ, are the recipients of the Son's revelation. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You who believe in Jesus. And so as objects of the Father's love and as followers of the revealed Son, Christ, who is the main focus of our faith, through him who believe in God, through faith in Christ, we have faith in God. Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we who have come to believe in Jesus have thereby been brought into knowledge, intimate knowledge of the Father. We have come to the Father through Christ, and that brings us into such a union with God that we share some of his glory. Marvel of marvels, mystery of mysteries. We who are his redeemed ones are recipients of promised glory. For we read, so that your faith and hope are in God. Again, backing up. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We see in this, of course, the power of God who raised Jesus Christ, but that power will also raise our bodies to a glorified state someday, right? Right. So we become recipients of promised glory. His faithfulness will accomplish this. He who was faithful to his Son to raise him from the dead and to give him glory as he ascended back to heaven. He promised to do that if his Son would come and die, and he was faithful to his promises. But he who is faithful to his Son will be faithful to the promises that he made to us, to grant us a measure of his glory. We will be with him where? In glory. We will be with him in the presence of his glory and in sharing some of that glory, some of that honor. He was glorified in his resurrection, which assures us of our resurrection, but also means that in our resurrection, because of his resurrection, we too will receive glory. We will come into the fullness of our inheritance, which will bring us great honor and glory, for we become joint heirs with Christ, the Son who inherits it all. He is the heir of all things, but he has chosen to bring his redeemed ones into his own inheritance so that we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I mean, these things are astounding. They are mysterious, and we just simply bow our heads in wonder and say, can it be? It would be enough to be rescued from hell, not to be damned forever. It would be enough just to be allowed to come into heaven rather than hell, to, as it were, tiptoe into the outskirts of heaven and from a distance view the splendor of God and the adoration that he receives from the holy angels and the praise that goes to him, just to tiptoe into the outskirts of heaven and to view some of this would be enough. But no, he brings us right into the proximity of his throne and makes us his chosen bride and honors us as his bride. The bride of Christ, right there with Christ as he sits upon his throne. What amazing honor. What undeserved glory. And we cast our crowns at his feet and return the glory to him. And these truths, which are astounding, ought to cause us to love and to serve Christ better as we reflect upon the greatness of his person and the greatness of his love to us. They ought to serve to draw us nearer to God in closer fellowship, having come to believe in him through the revelation that he has given to us in Christ. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. All of these things ought to cause us to be less concerned with the trials and disappointments of life, knowing what a glorious future awaits us. Astounding, amazing as it is. And all of these truths ought to cause everyone who hears these words to believe in Jesus, to believe in his death, to believe in his resurrection, to believe in his glorious ascension, that I might become partaker of the glorious promises secured for every one of those who trust in him. Astounding. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Let's put a period right there and meditate upon this wonderful text, and then tomorrow, Lord willing, we shall move on in our study of 1 Peter as we continue on into verse 22. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.